Hello everybody and welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers. For today's episode, we're taking it to a slightly different direction and we're talking about things that have caught our eye in this week of football. And I'm going to start, Josh, with Erling Haaland. It was a big game, obviously. Man City-Liverpool was this weekend, weekend of recording, I should say. And Haaland has just scored 50 Premier League goals in the quickest ever in history. First off, what are your thoughts?
He's quite good. I'd say he's a pretty good player. Other player, so 48 games, I think it was.
Yeah.
So we've got Alan Shearer, Andy Cole, Fernando Torres, Mo Salah, and Ruud van Nistelrooy. The other players on the list, but he's like 17 games ahead of those. He's actually scored 50 goals in 48 games, so less games than goals. It's just phenomenal.
It's just crazy.
Crazy. And so the most player on that list is most like, I'd say, Ruud van Nistelrooy, because it's that ruthless effectiveness of goal scoring.
I don't like that comparison, because I really like
Ruud van Nistelrooy.
He's not.
He obviously is.
Well, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
No, he's better at goal scoring.
He's better at everything. What's Ruud van Nistelrooy better than Erling Haaland at? Exactly.
Playing for Real Madrid.
For now. Is he Erling Haaland being at Real Madrid?
Yeah. He'll go somewhere, won't he? He's not going to stay at City for his whole career.
No, it'd be interesting to see the transition for City when Pep goes, and it happens to every side. Obviously, there's really good foundations and they keep regenerating the side, and it's not like Fergie had a long time and it was papering over the cracks. It was definitely Pep pushing them to the next level. It'd be interesting who they'd contemplate, but yeah, I think you'd see Erling Haaland move. I agree. Real Madrid,
Barcelona
have no money. I think it'd be nice to see Barcelona back being one of the big boys in terms of players they can bring in. They just now basically go on good faith and fandom. But yeah, I think one day Real Madrid. But yeah, overall, Erling Haaland is better than Ruud van Nistelrooy. But he's just that effectiveness. There's nothing flamboyant about his game, which I think is probably going to drags him down the kind of the stakes, and where you look at a player and go, oh, he's good. It's like a defensive midfielder who puts in lots of interceptions and keeps the ball moving, like Rodri.
Yeah, yeah.
Like so, Man City players, really, because they're just robotic.
They are robotic. And it's like, yeah, they've signed Jeremy Doku, a player I really liked before he moved to Man City. Absolute flair merchant to describe. That should be a term on Football Manager for how they describe a player.
Flair merchant, yeah.
Flair merchant.
Yeah, what kind of Jack Grealish was before it's been battered out of him, and now he just takes the ball in really difficult positions but keeps it. I think Jack Grealish has got to be looking at Doku and going, why are you allowed to do that? Why can't I do that?
I think that is the case. But so, I mean, the Messi Ronaldo era, as it's been dubbed for, you know, Ballon d'Ors and stuff like that, is over. Haaland, your pick for future Ballon d'Ors?
Haaland should have got it this year. There's a bit of romanticism around Messi, which I'm here for, because I'm a big fan of Messi. But you look at how important Haaland was to Man City. In fact, they won the treble, couldn't have won any more. Could he have scored any more goals? I mean, he broke the Premier League goal scoring record. It's pretty hard to not justify that being. He didn't score, but maybe it would have been a bit closer if he'd scored a winning goal in the Champions League final rather than Rodri. Might have made it a bit more tough decision, but I don't think Messi was ever in doubt. Messi was going to win it, really.
Yeah. So going forward, then, what do you think about Haaland? Because I mean, you look at the new era of footballers. You've got Haaland, who's just ruthless goal scorer. You've got Jude Bellingham at the moment, right, in current form, carrying Real Madrid. Basically, he's carrying that big team on his very young shoulders and doing a good job scoring goals, creating goals, generally being amazing and playing very well for England. Harry Kane breaking records in the Bundesliga. Fastest goal. I think he's the fastest goal scorer to 25 goals in their first season or something.
He is ahead of Lewandowski in the kind of goal scoring stakes, and yeah, is on track to beat his record. Yeah.
And then Mbappe, you know, world renowned, scoring lots of goals for PSG, winning international competitions with France at a young age. Ballon d'Or happens right now. You still think Haaland gets it?
Yeah, I think Haaland gets it for me because of what City have won and how he was key to that. I think really interesting will be next year. Obviously, we won't have Messi, Ronaldo in the fray. we'll have a Euros haven't gone by, or is it World Cup?
Euros,
and we have no Norway at the Euros.
Yeah.
We have obviously England there, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich both in the shout for Champions League. We have obviously France in there for Euros. PSG, not sure they'll be there for the Champions League. So you're probably looking at, you know, Man City, Bayern, Real Madrid as potential contenders. Yeah.
So if Man City win the treble, we'll give this a bit of a what-if scenario. You love a what-if scenario. Man City win the treble. Haaland scores the winner in the final of the Champions League, right?
Yeah.
They've won back-to-back trebles, which is just a thought I just don't want to even entertain. Ooh. But in this what-if, they've won back-to-back trebles. Haaland scores the winning goal in the Champions League final. But England win the Euros. Harry Kane wins the Bundesliga with Bayern. He does the double. He does the domestic double in Germany.
Yeah.
But Harry Kane wins the Euros for England. He just wins it. He doesn't score in the final.
But has he scored some goals? Has he had a good tournament?
Yeah. It's Harry Kane, right? He's had a good tournament.
Top Bundesliga.
Yeah. Who wins it?
I would personally give it to Harry Kane.
Shock.
Yeah, shock. One, because, I mean, England haven't won a major tournament in many a year. Like 50 years, 60 years. Harry Kane is also coming. Part of it is emotional. You get to, you know, Harry Kane's coming to the end of his career. There's going to be many more chances for Haaland to win a Ballon d'Or. I would give it to Harry Kane.
Yeah.
You?
All right. Well, fair enough. I'd give it to Harry Kane because I just don't want Man City to win the treble. So I would say Haaland is not allowed to win it, and Man City are found guilty of 121 financial charges, and all their trophies are stripped. So.
Interesting one, isn't it?
So with Haaland, there's some obviously we're still basing this around Wikipedia and at stats and facts and things we can pull out from Wikipedia. He's had one season in his whole very young career so far, where he hasn't scored a goal, and that was for Burn's senior team when he had 16 appearances and 0 goals. He got called up to their senior team because he had scored 18 in 14 the season before for the second team. This is his record, right? This is his league record for the teams he's represented. 18 in 14, 0 in 16, 2 in 4, 14 in 39, 17 in 16, 62 in 67, 50 in 48. And then, which is very impressive, right? That's an incredible record. Internationally, he's represented Norway for every age group. Under 15s, 4 in 4. Under 16s, 1 in 17, which he's probably really pissed off about. Under 17s, 2 in 5. Under 18s, 6 in 6. Under 19s, 6 in 6. Under 20s, 11 in 5, which is just mental. Under 21s, none in 3. The senior team, 27 in 29.
So 27, that's got to be close to being top goal scorer ever for Norway, which I reckon.
It must be.
Solskjaer, Flo. Yeah, he's second. So he's got 27. Jorgen Juve, that's got to be back in the day, yeah. So it's a picture of Jorgen Juve. He's the top male goal scorer in the history of Norway, with 33 goals. Just a picture of him in black and white on a typewriter.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I'd like to have that be replaced in 7 goals' time. Erling Haaland becomes. I want there to be a picture of him just on a typewriter.
On a typewriter. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's some record, isn't it? He's just a machine.
Yeah, he's, but he's got all of the attributes you look at and you think maybe he hasn't got the kind of a flair. I mean, I imagine his dribbling's good, but it's just not what's asked of him. But the complete striker. And funny, we mentioned Harry Kane. This week saw Harry Kane for ESPN was asked to describe his complete striker.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's 8 elements. So there was movement, speed, heading, finishing, strength, dribbling, link-up play, work rate. And he got to choose. It could be himself. It could be the same player 8 times. But he got to create that that player.
So he could have gone Harry Kane, Harry Kane, Harry Kane, Harry Kane, Harry Kane.
Harry Kane for all of them, yes. But he didn't.
Right. I don't know what he picked. Yeah, I'd like to know. Yeah, who did he pick?
So, Harry Kane has gone for movement, Edison Cavani. Speed, Cristiano Ronaldo. Heading, Peter Crouch. Finishing, himself. Strength, Didier Drogba. Dribbling, Kylian Mbappe. Link-up play, Wayne Rooney, work rate, Jude Bellingham. Some choices I agree with there, some I don't. I'd pick out heading Peter Crouch.
Yeah, don't know.
He scored a lot of headed goals because he's 6'7". I'd say dribbling Mbappe. I think it's more speed related rather than being able to dribble himself. And, you know, Messi is probably the player, not the striker, the player with best dribbling. Link up play Wayne Rooney, yeah. Work rate, Jude Bellingham, yeah, he's got excellent work rate. But again, I'm probably thinking more strikers when creating a striker. But, you know, you could have had heading, you could have had, you know, Olof Melberg. That came to front of mind, but you could have chosen a centre back with heading, I suppose, couldn't you?
Sergio Ramos.
But we've had a look at what we think is our complete striker using those eight sections, those eight attributes. Dave, I'd like you to take it away and talk us through your complete striker, please.
All right. Well, we'll start with movement.
Mm-hmm.
And
getting those pockets, you know, just finding that extra space where there isn't space.
Thierry Henry. That's all I've gone for it. That's all I've gone. Coming off that left hand side or playing up front, always found the gap between the full back and the centre backs. Thierry Henry.
Okay. I've got him, but in a different section.
Yeah, I assume you've got him in pace.
Heading.
So, Thierry Henry, I'm taking the movement of Thierry Henry.
Okay, yeah. Because
I think. Very good movement. Speed / pace, however you want to describe it. Bit left field, literally. Gareth Bale.
Yeah, because he plays as a winger. And not... Well, I suppose it's my own imposed rule around choosing strikers rather than wingers.
I've gone with the Football Manager approach of forwards, and if they've got a green dot in a position, they can play it. So, bright green is right or left wing... Little slightly darker green is centre forward striker. So yeah.
Okay, so just to be clear, this is the reason why I don't have Messi in my side, because I know he's the greatest player ever and could fit a number of these categories, but I have not chosen Messi because I've gone for, of course you have.
Because I'm not an idiot.
So I've stuck to number nines, number tens really, and I suppose Messi could have been brought into that, but I kind of see him more as his earlier days, that kind of right winger.
Okay, right. So. Movement of Henry, I've gone pace of Gareth Bale, rightly or wrongly. Heading,
yeah,
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay.
Just phenomenal. Jumping. I could have put it in there for jumping.
He revolutionised the jumping game. Didn't realise it needed to be revolutionised. But his hang time is it's kind of like when jumping, the legs come up to kind of further propel him up and he just... Yeah, my boys love watching videos. Him jump, like, can he jump over that? Or you see a tall person, can Cristiano Ronaldo jump over him? Like, yeah, mate, you can jump over him.
Probably, yeah. Probably. His neck is huge as well. He has a huge neck, a muscular neck for heading. Like, it's, yeah.
All right, mate, thank you.
So, Cristiano Ronaldo's in for heading. Finishing, he's already been mentioned on the podcast.
Oh.
Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Oh.
Obviously. Oh, okay. Don't give me that disappointment. As long
as you're finishing in the side 6 yard box. Yeah, yeah, top. Well, no one better.
I'm taking him because no one better. You just said Haaland does it better than him.
Overall finishing, I'd say the finishing inside 6 yard box. Yeah, great. I'd rather Ruud van Nistelrooy's movement, I'd say, because he found himself in that position to do the tap ins. Finishing, he scored what? Never scored outside the 18-yard box.
He scored one goal for United.
Lack of varied finishing there for me.
Okay, well, it's my people's.
Yeah. You go ahead. You got it wrong, but it's
you know, pissing on the guy that I've named my dog after, one of my favourite strikers ever. Like, yeah.
Just makes you think I'm pissing your dog now, Dave. Didn't do that. That's not what happened. Right.
Okay. Back to it. Strength.
Yeah. Brute force.
Zlatan.
Yeah. Black belt. Some
sort of martial arts.
Yeah,
could kill you. Scored a fantastic bicycle kick, which I assume he needed core strength to do that.
He's got some core strength, all right. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Dribbling, and this is where it's another striker. It's another striker that could have fitted in. I think any of these
complete strike. We're talking here. Yeah.
And Harry Kane didn't pick him for anything.
Brett Ormerod.
Brett Ormerod is in the van. The original Ronaldo, R9.
Yeah.
Dribbling, step overs, pace, ball rolls.
Goalkeepers didn't know if they're coming or going. Step over. Not even stepping over. Stepping.
Nah, faint. Faint.
Faint.
Just faint. Oh. Yeah. Unbelievable. Link up play of gone with Lionel Messi.
Yeah, it's not going to be work rate. The man walks around the pitch.
I'm picturing Messi in the Barcelona tiki-taka era, little dinks through balls, you know, lovely link up play. Lovely stuff. And then work rate, Wayne Rooney. I've gone with Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Because
tireless. If you want someone chasing down and being in your own fullback area, that's your guy.
That's DC United.
He's done it for United as well.
But I don't care. Fine. That's my work rate. That's my striker. We've got the movement of Henri, the pace of Gareth Bale, heading of Cristiano Ronaldo, finishing of Ruud van Nistelrooy, strength of Zlatan, dribbling of the original R9. Link up is Messi and Rooney's work rate. That's what we're going for. Now, you pick me better players to make a more complete striker.
Oh, easy. Okay. No, and I'd like you to let us know whose striker you prefer.
Oh. Dave or option Josh.
You can think of a name for them. You can put all those names into and jumble it up. Right, movement. This player was born offside. Exactly what you want from a player. Movement. Just found himself in those positions with little tap-ins, little Filippo Inzaghi.
But isn't that terrible movement if he's always offside?
He's just keeping the defenders on their toes. It would be frustrating, but maybe other players' attributes here would rein him in, but I think his movement was great. He just scored those tapped in, just little dinks, little flicks, because he found himself in the right position.
Okay.
Speed. This is where I've gone, Thierry Henry, because there are not many things I enjoy watching more than a player burst past a fullback or a leg race. Just joyous. And did you watch this week, Arsenal versus away at Inter Milan in the Champions League, Henri leg race with Fabio Zanetti, straight, almost from a halfway line, breaking away, keeps pace with Zanetti, and then Henri slows it down, then burst past, left foot shot across the goal. It was a joy to watch.
Had a surprisingly lengthy stride, didn't he, Henri?
Yeah,
surprisingly good stride on him. Yeah, good stride. I can agree with what you've said so far. Yeah, nice.
You might disagree here. This is a bit. I've chosen his. He's a very good header of ball, but also has a very good shape of head for heading.
Harry Maguire?
Yes. Similar. Oliver Bierhoff.
Okay.
Really good header of a ball, but just a lovely forehead on him, which just makes it aesthetically pleasing to head the ball. I think. Didn't he score a golden goal with his head? I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah, when was that?
I'm going to say Euro 2000?
It was I can't remember. Because I'm trying to think of what we've had. We've had Greece win it on silver goal. Then we had France win something with Zidane's golden goal. So it must have been whatever was after that, yeah.
Bierhoff scored the first golden goal in the history of major international football for Germany in Euro 96 final. A career-defining performance that vaulted him into the international limelight. Bierhoff was mostly renowned for his forehead. Bierhoff was mostly renowned for his excellent abilities in the air and as a target man, being able to deliver pinpoint headers towards goal. What more do you need? And there's a picture of him, and his forehead is immaculate. 6'3". Yes, please.
Nice.
Let's see if there's a style of play. A large and prolific striker. I don't know that. It's large. Being able to execute headers with power and precision. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Ticks the boxes, yeah.
Finishing, I've gone for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay.
One of the greatest finishers of all time. Left foot, right foot, long range tap-ins, he had it all. And that weak, I don't know if it really was weak, but a weaker foot going away from goal, he managed to wrap his foot around it, work the keeper, score some amazing goals. And I watched it with Spurs with Ivan Perisic. It's that core strength. Ivan Perisic can really dig a cross out when you don't think it's even possible that players topple over. But having that core strength, being able to plant that foot and stay on balance is key to that. And it's just, amazing finisher of the ball.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Next two are exactly the same. So I've gone strength, Zlatan, dribbling R9. So
good.
No need for discussion there. Link-up play. Now I've gone for a player here who is very much this is his game. You know, dropping deep, feeding the pace of Thierry Henry. At first touch, Dennis Bergkamp.
Oh, literally feeding the pace of Thierry Henry.
Yeah. This is very much what happened. Yeah, just playing those passes, a little scoops over, through balls. Yeah, amazing.
Nice.
Work rate. I've gone for someone tenacious. An amazing player, had one of the greatest Premier League seasons ever, just as well as being technically superb at dribbling. I'd say
Harry Maguire.
It's Luis Suarez.
Oh, nah, fuck off, get out. He's not in this. He's good, but he's nah. He'll bite.
He's probably unlucky not to win a Ballon d'Or, I'd say. Luis Suarez had some.
You know, he's bitten two people on live TV in front of 90,000 people.
I didn't realise there was a non-biting rule for Ballon d'Or.
I think right. It's pretty obvious there's a non-biting rule for Ballon d'Or.
Do you know who has bitten a player but never gets any airtime? And it was actually, strangely, it was Tevez's teammate, Argentine teammate, at West Ham. He bit Mascherano. Jermaine Defoe bit Javier Mascherano.
Did he?
Yeah, have a little Google of that. I don't want to drag this up. Jermaine Defoe is already in the news for being bought with dodgy agents. But he took a little nibble on Javier Mascherano in a Spurs v West Ham match, which doesn't get anywhere near as much heat. But yeah, have a little Google of that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay, so why Luis Suarez?
Because he was just restless, just constantly running, chasing, and just tenacious. I think, yeah.
Yeah. He was all those things, but yeah, he was also a cannibal. So,
who hasn't bitten someone before? All right? I mean, I stopped doing it age 2, 3, but... I reckon you bit someone at nursery.
Probably, yeah.
So do you think, just objectively, do you think that your player, your combined player is better than my combined player?
Yes, I do. I think it would be, I think they'd be very, very similar. I think, like...
Yeah, we're dealing with the thing is, we're here dealing with the upper, we're dealing with the elite.
We are,
there's not
yeah,
much to choose
are.
From it. It gets a bit more interesting if you were to deal with anything... sub-elite.
Just comparing players quickly, what I do like about yours, how many players have you had that have never played in the Premier League?
Inzaghi hasn't, Bierhoff hasn't, R9 hasn't, so 3.
Yeah, yours is... I'm probably leaning towards yours being more unknown, so how it would get on, because I've only got R9 and Messi that haven't played in the Premier League. So you would have more
known quantities there, aren't they? They are excellent players.
Exactly. But you're right. We are looking at only the elite. So, off the cuff, same topics. Movement, speed, heading, finishing, strength, dribbling, link-up play and work rate.
Yeah.
Non-elite. Premier League only, because we'll try and narrow it down.
Narrow filters, yeah.
Go. And I say go.
Where do we start, Dave? If they're not elite,
do we need a cap? What are we calling non-elite?
Who's your threshold? Give me an example of a striker.
My initial thinking is probably can't have won the Premier League or wasn't an elite player of that team. So
I like that. Not won the Premier League or Champions League.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what we can go with, I think. Not won the Premier League or Champions League. And also, there's players that we can just go... Because, you know, Harry Kane has won neither. But we know he's elite. So, you know, he's automatically out.
Yeah. Oh, God, rub it in. Okay.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. Because he's going to win the league with Bayern. So, you know.
He will. And then the Euros with England and win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. As we discussed. Work rate first.
This is going to be easy. This is going to be your Shane Longs, your Jamie Vardys, your Paul Dickocks.
Jamie Vardy, I think, is the shout. I like that one straight off the bat. Paul Dickock, I think.
He's won the, I know we're not looking league. At he's won the league. Jamie Vardy's won the league.
Oh, Jamie Vardy's won the league.
Yeah, I'm chucking names out there without any thought of what they're... Okay. Maybe speed.
Antonio Valencia. No, he's a right back.
Well, the right back.
Well, he was a right winger at one point, which means he probably would
qualify. Who the hell are you thinking of? Ener Valencia.
West Ham striker.
Ener Valencia.
No.
Mikel Antonio,
that's what I'm thinking of.
Hold on. West Ham have had a player makes up both parts of Antonio Valencia, Mikel Antonio and Ener Valencia.
That's, yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Mikel Antonio, work rate.
He can fit in a couple of strength. He could also fit in.
He could fit in strength. Yeah, he could fit in strength. He's the Premier League's Jiz Hornkamp. Have you thought about that? Right back striker.
Yeah, he played right back against Spurs, I think. It's maybe speed, actually, but I've always envisioned chasing down Thomas Radzinski.
Ooh, Everton.
Everton, yeah.
And Fulham?
And Fulham, yes.
I could go for that for a bit of work rate. Thomas Radzinski. Clint Dempsey is another one from Fulham.
Yeah, did like a press from that kind of US school of training where it's just athleticism, isn't it?
Yeah. I like Radzinski. I think that's an odd, a good little name.
Thomas
Dirk Kuyt.
Ooh, dangerous Dirk. Dirty Dirk.
Dangerous
Dirk. Was he dirty? No, I don't think he's known as Dirk.
Was he dangerous? Or we just call him Dirk? Timo Pukki? More finishing than...
Yeah, pretty good finisher overall. Like, Dirk Kuyt was a tireless...
I think that's what you're looking for, right?
Because he was so... Yeah, actually, he started as a striker and then was moved wider because he was just so tireless. That's what kind of players you want, who they've been moved to a more kind of exhausting position because they just do love a run. Yeah, I'll take Dirk Kuyt.
Dirk Kuyt, yeah. All right, Dirk Kuyt. Do you want to stick physicals? Are they going to be easier, aren't they, for lesser quality players? So, strength?
Strength, okay. So, we can big centre... Forward.
Alexandra Mitrovic, that sort of mould, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's my nomination.
Really? I think he's bigger than I think as well.
Yeah, he's a big, big boy.
Maybe because he's shown aggression. Tamuri Ketspire.
That's not bad. I think we're thinking too exotic.
Are we not buffering up against the sub-elite category? We need
Grant Holt.
Oh, big man.
Big man, strong man.
So strong, he moved into World of Wrestling. Tame wrestler. Really? Yeah. So, case closed right there. You can't move into wrestling if you're not one of the strongest.
Strong.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he's definitely not elite, so...
No.
Ticked the box. Okay, so we've got... Well, I think you should run us through every time we get a topic ticked off.
The work rate of Dirk Kuyt. The strength... of Grant Holt. The speed we're going for now? Speed of who?
Who is just absolutely rapid. Now, I feel like this should be quite an easy one to...
Yeah, because it's an outstanding attribute that players have had. I did Adama Traore, but we're not going to include him. Because
Theo Walcott.
Theo Walcott's a nice shout, actually. He wouldn't have won the league. Wouldn't have won the Champions League.
If he won the league, it was with Arsenal when he wasn't doing much.
No, he wouldn't have done, I don't think.
No? He's got Theo Walcott.
That's a very good shout. He was incredibly quick.
Too many England caps, maybe?
He's close to being discounted, I'd say. Now, I don't like this. I really enjoyed... I remember watching his debut match of the day and he just ran from place to place to place. Gabby Ogbonlahor.
Oh, he's certainly not elite, and he is, or was, very, very quick. Ryan, was he?
Ryan Babel?
No. I think his height made him look deceivingly quick, because he had a long stride, yeah.
Okay.
And I think Gabby would be quicker than Ryan Babel.
Yeah, I think you're struggling to find quicker than Gabby Ogbonlahor there.
Okay, nail it in. Lock it in.
Player with the work rate of Dirk Kuyt. The strength of Grant Holt, the speed of Gabby Ogbonlahor, where should we go now? The heading.
I mean, you're looking at another big person.
Not necessarily. First player I thought was Tim Cahill. Good header of a ball.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Not necessarily big.
True. I mean, sticking with Everton, big dunk.
Oh. Big dunk. That is a great shout. Good centre foot. Good forehead. Centre forehead. Yeah. I was going to say.
Good centre forehead.
Centre forehead. Yeah. That is.
John Carew.
John Carew. Yeah. Don't mind it. Who else is good at heading?
I'm trying to picture what strikers I've seen score numerous diving headers.
I've just realised we didn't. I could have mentioned Obafemi Martins for pace.
Pace. Oh.
Is that enough to put?
I'm tempted to put him in just because it's not Gabby Agbonlahor.
Yeah. Should we change it up?
Yeah, we'll change that up. Yeah. Done. Gabby's out. Agbonlahor's out.
Suck it, Gabby.
Yeah. A big dunk. Are we going big dunk with the superb centre forehead?
Was Tor André Flo good at heading or just tall?
I think he was decent at heading.
Tell you what, good at heading.
Peter Crouch should be in the mix because he does have the record for most Premier League goals with his head.
No, but... when he jumped, he got shorter. He's too flimsy.
Okay.
Franco Di Santo, Wigan. I'm just going to check it out there. It was actually surprisingly good in the air, but no, big dunk. Big dunk it is. Okay, so we've got the work rate of Dirk Kuyt, the strength of Grant Holt, the heading of Duncan Ferguson, the speed of Obafemi Martins. We'll now go to movement.
Movement.
Movement. So this is a player who...
In your rules, was born offside.
Gets in the great position but doesn't score because he's not elite.
Yeah.
Scored a bit, but didn't score tons, I suppose.
You're sort of thinking of someone that in nowadays stats and attributes and data around football isn't quite hitting their XG, is how I would describe it. They're always in the position, but not quite hitting their XG.
People were expecting more. Like, come on, you get in position, you should be scoring more. So never was like a leading Premier League goal scorer. Yeah. But just, you know, intelligent player, I'd say.
Oh, an intelligent player. Yeah, okay.
Spurs player springs to mind.
Go on.
I would say Robbie Keane was probably our most intelligent players. Didn't win the league, didn't win Champions League, but was just always felt like a step ahead of defenders. Just found himself in that kind of position, just being able to kind of, you know, was never the quickest, but technically well. I think I'll throw Robbie Keane into the mix.
I am happy with Robbie Keane. Danny Welbeck.
No,
you don't think he's got good movement?
I don't. I've never thought of him as having good movement. I probably down on Danny Welbeck a bit too much. It feels like he was never fully in control. Just stuff went a bit wrong. A couple of Blackburn forwards.
Okay.
Benny McCarthy, Rocky Santa Cruz.
See, I think Benny McCarthy would go into finishing. But maybe I'm thinking outside of Blackburn, though. Outside of his Premier League era.
Yeah, maybe. Clever movement.
Oh, just to go back in time a little bit. Heading. Oh, no, he'll be elite. He'd be class. Edin Dzeko, but he'd be class.
Can't have that.
Robbie Keane. I think I'm happy with Robbie Keane.
I was going to say Dwight York because his movement, but he's going to be considered
Champions
elite.
League, Premier League. Yeah.
Okay.
Robbie Keane. I think Robbie Keane. Nail it in.
The work rate of Dirk Kuyt. The strength of Grant Holt. The heading of Duncan Ferguson. The speed of Obafemi Martins. The movement of Robbie Keane. Really should write this down. This is getting tough for about a second.
It's like one of those quiz shows. Yeah. We have to remember what colour was.
Finishing dribbling link-up play. Let's go to dribbling. Dribbly boy, a little dribbly boy who maybe dribbled up his own arse a little bit. Got himself lost.
Paolo One Chop.
That could be used to describe him, I agree.
He was quite a good all-round player for the era, wasn't he? Paolo One Chop, actually.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, his consistency was the key, wasn't it? Lacking that. Okay, what else we got? Dribbly boys. Quite often you Nwankwo Kanu, similar to kind of language style, but
won the league, but was he a key part of winning the league?
Let's see what is probably won a few leagues, didn't he?
I think he must have. Yeah, he probably did win a few leagues
and won the FA Cup.
Try and think about dribbly boys.
Won two leagues, two FA Cups. Three FA Cups, sorry, because won it also. Yeah, I mean he scored kind of 13 goals. Yeah, I think it probably
too much.
Too much.
What about was Kinkladze more of a winger? Georgie yeah. Kinglade. And then I was thinking potentially Faustino Asprilla for Newcastle.
Don't mind that. Well, another Newcastle forward has got a Lamana Trissor Lualua. He's always a very tricky dribbly boy.
He was.
He could probably do better than that, though.
Normally, if they're really good at dribbling, they go and play for a better club. It's a weird... And also, strikers aren't... They don't have to be good at dribbling.
No. I mean, Wilfred Zaha is maybe on a cusp of good... I don't want to bring him in now. I don't want to.
I think if you're not giving me Kinkladze, I'm not giving you Zaha. Louis Zaha?
No, Louis Zaha maybe for finishing, though. Finishing, did he win the league with you?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
He would have won the league, yeah.
Yeah, he would have won the league with us.
Anything other than Paolo Wanchope for dribbling?
Well, we're between Wanchope and Lamano Lualua.
Yeah, I think there's got to be something better there.
Jonathan Utaka.
No.
That was pace. That was just pace, and he's not as quick as Martins. Overthrowing Martins. Let's see if Google can help us. This is a very niche search I'm doing right here.
What have you actually typed in?
Best dribbling centre forwards in Premier League history. Number one, Eden Hazard.
Do you know who actually I'd say currently in there is Mateus Cunha at Wolves. He's a very good dribbly boy.
Yeah.
Striker? Can't finish for shit. Can't finish.
Okay. I'm not the best 15 dribblers in Premier League history. I'm going to go through this, see if there's any strikers. Hatem Ben Arfa, not a striker.
No.
Janinho at number 10.
I'm reluctant.
Matt Letizia.
No, get out, Letizia.
John Barnes. Theorist.
John Barnes, winger. Get out.
Yeah. Mahrez, Zola.
He wouldn't have won.
The Champions League or Premier League?
What major honours Champions League does have? He must have some FA Cups, probably.
Now, the next name we have.
Napoli. Yeah, two FA Cups he won.
Chris Waddle.
Yeah, very good dribbler, but pretty right out here, that is.
That is. Oh, yes. No, he's not a centre forward.
Who is it?
David Ginola. Oh.
Yeah, can't be having that.
No, we can't be having that. No, he's not a centre forward. He is, but he's elite.
Got Faustino Asprilla still, though. Asprilla, Wanchope, Lualua.
I mean, Asprilla was probably the most fun to watch with the ball out of those three.
Yes.
But you, what are you leaning towards?
Probably Asprilla, but it was just such a fleeting... Now, is this guy could dribble, right? But
right.
I'm not sure. Yannick Bolasie.
He's not a striker. All right, Faustino Asprilla, I'm looking it in. No, Paolo Wanchope for longevity in the Premier League. I'm locking it in. Derby, Man City. Who else did he play for? Is that it? That might be
longevity.
Longevity for Paolo Wanchope. I swear there was another one.
Do you remember Mark Lawrenson said, with him in commentary, a good guy to have at barbecue?
No.
West Ham he also played for.
West Ham,
I think it's because... Maybe a pork chop, one chop joke.
Oh, God. It was odd. Okay. Yeah. Luis Boamorte? Nah, he's not really a dribbler.
Now a coach, isn't he? He's Michael Silva's...
A coach at West Ham.
West Ham.
I think. Is it? He used to be West Ham. He may have moved now.
I thought he was with Marco Silva.
Oh, yeah, I think he is. Yeah, I think he is, actually. So
I've seen him on the Everton bench and the West Ham bench. Okay, so we have the work rate of Dirk Kuyt, the strength of Grant Holt... We haven't done finishing. Heading.
Yeah. Of big dunk.
Big dunk. Speed of Aubameyang Martins. The movement of Robbie Keane. With dribbling.
Of Paolo Wanchope.
Paolo Wanchope. Oh, God, it's hard. Right, so we're left with finishing and link-up play. Let's go to finishing. And we could,
finishing.
The thing I'm thinking here, one season wonder, maybe, just to get some names in there.
Well, I've got one. One season, Kevin Phillips is my one season wonder for finishing. Didn't he get the record, the golden boot?
Yeah,
he
got 30 goals in a season. Yeah.
Next to Niall Quinn.
Good link up play. Yeah, little flick ons. So we'll think about finishing. So yes, Kevin Phillips. I don't mind that at all. Don't mind that one bit. Great finisher.
I mean, Jermaine Defoe was in my, well, you'll know more than me, but he, I think he was a good finisher.
Very good finisher. Probably lacked his movement, I'd say, but yeah, could really finish outside of the box. That's, yeah, and left foot, right foot, don't mind that at all. Mikel Forsell, I always felt he was a good two-footed finisher.
Yeah.
Just to chuck out there. We mentioned Timu Pukki.
Yeah.
What else have we got?
I mean, I'm happy for Kevin Fittler. 30 goals in a season for Sunderland is...
I don't think, yeah, you struggle. James Beattie scored a lot of goals.
I like James Beattie, yeah. But Kevin Phillips,
Phillips, okay. Yeah. The work rate of Dirk Kuyt. The dribbling of Paolo Wanchope. The strength of Grant Holt. The finishing of Kevin Phillips. The heading of Duncan Ferguson. The speed of Obafemi Martins. The movement of Robbie Keane. All that's left is the link-up play of... Who springs to mind?
What are we describing as link-up play?
Okay, so part is, I think it's a cross between link-up and hold-up play. So, because we're talking about a lot of stuff, this focus around number nine. So we've got, you know, back to goal, can feed other players in. I don't mind dropping deep and playing it through. Flick-ons, all that kind of aspect to it. So he might be a Bergkamp-style player. It might be a Niall Quinn-style player. But as long as we can kind of justify it there, linking the play together...
Too shit, but Ollie McBurney.
Oh, get out. Get out. He's a no. Yari, yeah. Litmanen.
That's
a good shout, isn't it?
That's a very good shout. That is a very good shout for a little attacking midfielder, false nine ish sort of player with passing ability.
Now, yeah. This player wasn't elite in the Premier League, but probably considered elite elsewhere, because I imagine he's won stuff. So he's won UEFA Cup. Yuri Djorkaeff.
Was he ever played as the solo? He was always in behind someone, right? Whereas Yari Litmanen, I think, was used as a striker. Kevin Davies, like, he would have been playing off Kevin Davies, yeah. Slightly different. Very different to Yari Litmanen. Back to goal. Mark Viduka.
I am a big fan of Mark Viduka. Good dribbler as well, actually. Good finishing. Good, really good player. Didn't have a work rate. If he had the work rate of Dirk Kuyt, would have been a different player. But yeah, I like that as a Viduka hold-up man, thread a ball through, bring players in. Yeah, big fan.
I'm leaning towards Yari Litmanen because this is the trait. You need the exotic nature, I think. If you can link up for through balls and stuff. Di Canio?
Di Canio's nice. Fascist. Letizia is nice, conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. They're both out.
Out, yeah. Just dropping
personality deep. Brings it down. Yeah, they're not.
Yeah. I don't want that attribute being brought in. You're going to have some cross-contamination there. Alan Boksic?
Not bad, yeah.
For Barra?
Oh! And this isn't going on his thin at Aston Villa. It's going on the words of R9. Luca Nillis, the best strike Luke partner Nillis. I've ever had.
Yeah, I get that, but...
I think we have to judge it on Premier League performances,
yeah,
there's right?
Yeah, not much. Yeah, Richard Wright put into that.
I'm happy with Litmanen or Viduka, I think.
Let's go with Viduka.
Viduka?
Yeah, I'm going with Viduka.
Another big boy.
Yeah, did more in the Premier League. So, we have the work rate of Dirk Kuyt, the link-up play of Mark Viduka, the dribbling of Paolo Wanchope, the strength of Grant Holt, the finishing of Kevin Phillips, the heading of Duncan Ferguson, the speed of Obafemi Martins, the movement of Robbie Keane. That player's getting you 10-plus goals.
I think it's a lot. There's a good number of goals in there. I think it's a good striker, giving you that.
Is that striker better than Erling Haaland?
No.
No, it's not, is he?
What's better there? The dribbling?
Yeah, I think, yeah. But Erling Haaland doesn't really let him... I reckon he could be better, but just doesn't have that personality. I think it comes down to personality-wise, really. Finishing speed, maybe. It'd be an interesting leg race. I think over a longer distance, Erling Haaland would eat up the acceleration that it afforded Obafemi Martins' lead. That'd be a fun race.
That would be a fun
race. Martin's obviously still only 28.
There'd be a very similar sort of build. Because Haaland is...
Wait a minute, Obafemi Martins. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so, yeah, I suppose if you're taking...
Right.
If you merge all of these together.
Yeah, if you merge them all together.
Dirk Kuyt is 6 foot plus. Link-up play, yeah, Viduka's broad. Dribbling, yeah, we're getting 6 foot plus with Paolo Wanchope strength. Grant Holt's going to be 6 foot plus. Finishing, bring it down there.
Yeah, but you're taking the averages, right?
Yeah, yeah, so... but he still brings it down. Heading, Duncan Ferguson brings it right back up again. Obviously, Martin brings it down. And movement of
Robbie Keane
brings it down. Yeah, I think Erling Haaland probably... We definitely don't average out at 6'4", do we?
So we're saying, right, that Haaland is still a better striker than all of those players, taking all those best attributes of those players combined. The only thing Haaland doesn't have is dribbling. So does Haaland score more goals if he could dribble like Paolo Wanchope? That's the ultimate question.
No, because I think Pep Guardiola would sub him off. Like, what are you doing?
Pep Guardiola would batter that out of him as well.
Yeah,
no dribbling.
Crush week one, that would have been.
Yeah.
Well. On that bombshell, I think that's a good place to end this week's podcast. Thank you for joining us discussing elements from our week in football. It'll be something new next week, but in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at Wikipedia Wanderers. Until then, goodbye.